stop. Max and Stacy's threesome.
Hey, it's Lex and Stacy, Threesome Podcast number 93. Back with my girl.
Hello, Lex. How are you?
I'm good, man. I had some health issues.
I know.
So we had to take some time off after we just started getting rolling again. So sorry about that.
It was some my fault, too.
Yeah.
But and, well, I will let you take more of the blame.
It really wasn't your fault because I couldn't have done it. So.
Okay.
So whatever bullshit you pulled, it's fine. Just throw it all at me because I couldn't have.
All right.
But I had the ticker finally worked on. This is something that I've wanted to have done for like 15 years because I have AFib issues. It's one of those things that it goes into that and my heart beats fast anytime it feels like it. Usually at night for some reason. They connected somehow with snoring or mild sleep apnea is what kicks it in. And
Lisa's pussy.
And Lisa's pussy always gets my heart racing. So it got worse and worse. And I don't know if I told you what kind of meds I was on, but it was really. I had like a 45 heartbeat at night.
Wow. Did you get cold? Did your lips turn blue?
Which is like what the greatest athlete in the world has.
I was going to say, wasn't that it's like, Michael Phelps?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think his was 47, his resting heart rate.
And he was also consuming 10,000 plus calories a day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's just a beast. And I had his heartbeat, except not his perfectly clean, channeled body to pump all my blood through. Instead, this, lifetime of deceit to my body.
Oh, I think he's done some deceiving to his body, too.
Yeah, not like I have.
Oh, come on. If he's getting busted for pot and drunk driving and stuff, you know he's taken some up the nose.
Yes, some up the nose and what I've taken up the nose are two totally different things.
Well, for his oiled machine of a body.
That's like saying he's done some swimming.
He's paddled in a pool once or twice.
Yeah, he's done a few laps.
Him and his little kickboard.
Yeah. So and here's the part that sucked. I continued to work out on these beta blockers. So I go to this gym where they provide you with a heart strap, so they can monitor your heart. And everybody who's in the class, their heart monitor is up on the TV screen. So, I'm on the rowing machine. I know who I'm on it with, so I can see all four of our heartbeats. I'm doing the exact same thing these people are, if not more. And their heartbeats are like 160, 170, just kicking ass. And I am at 109.
It's like, hey, I'm just the dude.
Now,
it's okay. I'm chill.
I don't know why the heart speeds up when you exert yourself. I'm guessing to pump more oxygen to your body through your blood.
I would believe that would be the reason, yes.
So the fact that I wasn't dying was mystifying me. Because I wasn't feeling that different than I would otherwise. It was really weird. Yet I'd look up there and at like 109, and even the instructor's like, come on!
You pussy.
Yeah. It's like, you're up there with everybody, but you obviously can do more. Come on. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I can't.
To stop heckling me.
You fucking whore. I can't. So it's just really weird and everything. But it was just making me feel yucky. I was ready to get off of it. I finally got my health insurance and got everything in line and got back with my old electrophysiologist, and we decided they were going to do the operation that they decided not to do on me in 2008, because back then it was like a 10-hour procedure.
Wow, that's longer than the Gilligan's Island trip.
Yeah. It's three-hour tours and then some. So she wasn't... She goes, look, I'm really good at what I do. She goes, but 10 hours, she goes, anything over five, I'm really uncomfortable with. She goes, because I'm a human being. It's a long time. She goes, I'll do it. I can even tag team with another electrophysiologist.
And I'm like, but my hands get shaky after, no sugar in 4 hours.
But she was just being honest,
Which is good.
Yeah, which is good. She goes, let's put you on some meds and,
At least she didn't say, I've never done that before sober.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to be knocked out cold. Whatever you do with another electrophysiologist is your own business. Just don't leave me over there too long. So,
and don't take awkward pictures of me when I'm out and drooling and I've just shit myself. And
don't involve my penis in any way.
There's a t-shirt for you.
Yeah, my wife.
An arrow pointing down. It says, don't involve my penis.
My wife and daughter are just outside. Let's keep this copacetic. So all that was going on and everything. And she decided, let's just medicate you because the technology in this is really advancing. And probably in about 2 or 3 years, we can do this in half the time and get you taken care of. Well, life happened and everything, and instead of 3 years going by, 8 has gone by, and the situation's gotten worse. But when I went in to see her this time, she goes, yeah, you're not going to believe this, but this is like 3.5 hours now.
And I've had my license revoked.
And she had a partner in the office that specialized in what my issue was, so he ended up taking the case, and he came out and said it was one of the easier ones he's done in a long time. If all of his cases were like mine, he could operate on 3 people a day instead of 2.
Now, did they have to shave your balls for this?
I had to shave everything, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you're like popping fresh right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I got some
high five manscaping.
I got some itchy little stubble going on, which
poor Lisa.
On top of a some sutures and all that, just it's itch city down there.
But really, folks, it's not crabs. I had a procedure.
No, well, here's the best part. Where they go in, it's a huge artery, so it as it heals up, it has a little bit of blood leakage, like a quarter cup or so that sits in your body, and then after a couple of days decides to spread out into a nice giant bruise.
Ew, okay.
And your body takes on a bunch of water to get rid of it, which spreads it out even more. So you look like just people just beat on your pelvis with bats for like 5-10 minutes.
Is it sore?
No.
Or just looks awful?
No, it just looks awful.
Okay.
It's the perfect solution to get pity.
Except you get arrested when you show people. Because,
yeah, the problem is nobody wants to blow you when you look like that down there. So, that's out.
But I'm shaved, ladies.
It's like, you couldn't have pointed this stuff up towards the stomach, But it really looks bad now. It's finally starting to clear up, and it should be all right in a couple of days. But it's, man, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, my God.
You poor baby.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm glad that it worked out, though.
Yeah. So, as far as the heart stuff goes, when it's fixed, it's fixed. So you feel great right away. But those things are so big where they go in with those catheters and stuff that, you can't bend over, you can't pick stuff up. And as a guy and the man of the house, you don't realize how much shit you pick up naturally.
You hear Lisa sighing again. Move, I'll just pick that up.
Well, I went and got 5 or 6 cases of bottled water before I went in, you know, so we wouldn't have that problem. I didn't realize how much water this bitch drinks. I mean, it's like, I was on like day 3 of recovery, and she's like, we need to go get some more water. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? She goes, no. She goes, between you and Samantha and I, it's, you know, we're down to like 1 case. I'm like, I can't lift anything. Sorry. I said, I'll pay for it. You know, but.
Or you could blow my giant purple bruise.
Or,
but...
you can do something crazy like drink out of the tap for a few days.
Oh, you're so funny, Lex.
Yeah. You know, that just that absurd thing I've done well my whole life.
But anyway, you know, you don't live in Flint. It should be okay.
Yeah. Although Flint has made me rethink.
It should.
Yeah.
Because, like, Cleveland, you're finding out now, is just as bad, if not worse, than Flint.
Yeah.
There are now cities across the United States that thought, maybe we should check, and are finding bad things out.
Now, the good news is those cities have the funds and resources to fix it. Flint does not.
Well, and this is kind of funny. Just today, I guess, Michigan's Governor Rick Snyder announced that he, because he completely understands why some Flint residents are hesitant to drink the water, and he says, I'm hopeful I can alleviate some of the skepticism and mistrust by putting words into action. Flint residents made it clear that they would like to see me personally drink the water. So today I'm fulfilling that request, and I will continue drinking Flint water at home and at work for at least 30 days. But it will be filtered water. But he's going to drink the water after they've now put the stuff in the water system to make it, you know, stick to the pipes, that thing.
Yeah.
They're asking residents, we saw this on the news, they're asking residents to run cold water like half an hour a day for the next few weeks to help flush the system and get all that stuff through all of the pipes and everything. And then, I guess, out into our Great Lakes. So, yay.
Okay, so a whole city of people, you know, hundreds of gallons each house out into the Great Lakes. Yeah, that shouldn't hurt anything.
Nah, not at all. Because I agree. I mean, okay, you've already had this, like, water that corroded pipes enough to let the lead out, and you know, this has been going on for 18-plus months. Now they've put some sort of chemical into the water that's coating the pipes and make everything much better. Do you want to drink that chemical?
Right.
Because I'm sure it's not, you know, bubble gum. It's not something, it's not cotton candy and unicorns that they're putting through the pipes now.
Yeah, it's like my sister drinks tap water out in California, and I'm like, right now, sis, do you think that's a good idea?
See, we have a well, so, and we do drink, but we also have it filtered.
Yeah, but
it's not directly out of the tap.
They get their water from elsewhere. You know, so, you know, they're down at the bottom of some reservoir. I'm like, you never want the water from down at the bottom, ever.
No.
And she's like, oh, no. She goes, as soon as the drought started, she goes, I went and stocked up on bottled water. That's what I drink now. I went, okay, good.
My husband is in Flint quite a bit for his job, and he... This was a few months ago. I'm like, God, that's nice, hon. He was in someone's house, and he wasn't thinking, you know, hey, I'm in Flint. And in their house, they had, like, stacked against the walls of their house, like, just cases and cases and cases of bottled water. And he keeps, like, looking over because it's not something you normally see, and he wasn't thinking. And they must have seen him kind of looking because they said, would you like some water? And he was like, oh my God, I'm in Flint. No, you keep your water.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be the douche. You know, I am kind of thirsty. Yeah. Can I have, you know, and then like throw out half on the lawn as he's leaving, you know, because this is what they're bathing in too and stuff. So,
yeah, it's bad. You know, it does raise the question of just about every major city in the country.
Well, and considering Flint's not a major city, so don't think that.
Yeah, but it's
you're safe if you're not major city.
But it's big enough where it was probably built, conceptualized, and processed the same way as a big city does it.
Well, I told you when they went to look at the plans, like the city plans for all of the pipe work and stuff.
Yeah.
And everything was on like 3x5 note cards. And they were, some were written in pencil, like from before the 50s, and the pencils faded and stuff. And this is like the written record of where all the pipes are in Flint.
Oh my God.
You know, I in my head would be thinking, you know, like, you know, schematics and things. No, it's all like notes taken on literal note cards.
Yeah, I can't believe how many mayoral administrations have gone through that city, you know. Countless. You know, let's just say they've had a new mayor every 6 years since the 50s. You know, I can't believe that somebody out of there went, we have to make sure all of our utilities are in order.
Unfortunately, with it being Flint, I think that for the last many decades, they've had bigger issues.
Well, yes.
And if you want to know, watch Roger and Me, no matter what you think of Michael Moore. Roger and Me is Flint, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
That's the thing I hate about Michael Moore is the fact that he did a political movie. Once he did a political movie, all those brilliant pieces of work that weren't so political got schmeg on them. You know, yes. Roger and Me being one of them, which is not, has nothing to do with politics whatsoever. It's, you know, it's about a company fucking of its employees and some misuse of, you know, federal funds and American people and all that stuff. But he didn't politicize that movie. I've seen that movie dozens of times. And
right.
And he pretty much kept it, you know, GM focused.
Right.
And a couple other of his movies, the same thing. You know, probably the 9/11 movies, the one that got people just torqued and pissed off at him. But I'm sorry. Some of the things he found in that movie, just, you know, whatever your political affiliation is, they deserve explanation.
That's kind of how I feel, like, with the climate.
Yeah.
You know, anything science-based, why does it have to be political? Why can't it just be, you know what, it's science, you know? It just irritates me that Sarah Palin, for instance, has gone after Bill Nye. Like, back off, bitch. That's my man.
Yeah. You're as much as a science person as Bill Nye.
Well, that's what she says. Like, he's as much of a scientist as I am.
Yeah.
True, but I bet you he's not as big of a whore.
Yeah, I think if we did the Saturday morning science quiz, you against him, you would get your little ass handed to you.
Yes.
Pick any subject you want. You think? Let's do it on ice.
Now, you mean the actual, like, cold water?
Yes.
Frozen? Okay.
Let's do it on
immigration.
Yeah. Let's do it on anything Alaska. Any, you know, that has anything to do with the environment or
salmon.
Yeah. There you go.
Wolves. You can kill from helicopters.
I bet he fucking kicks your ass.
Yes.
I bet I'd kick your ass.
I think you'd do it a little more spitefully than Bill Nye, because that's the other great thing. If you've never seen that debate he did with the Creation Museum guy, you really should watch it. The way he handles himself, he's just unflappable. He's like the unflappable science guy.
Yeah.
And you've got to respect the fact that he's just very calm, and he's like, I am backed up by facts.
Yeah, which is more intimidating than somebody like me that's going to call her names, you know?
Right.
You know, because that comes off as, I don't know, so I'm going to shame her, which is absolutely true. You know, it's like, I don't even want to talk about science. I just want to run this bitch over right now.
And I'd be in the front row going, yeah, Lex! Yeah. Go!
First off, if you're sitting on the shore watching for Russian planes and actually seeing them and you're not making a phone call, I think you're a fucking idiot.
Can I tell you an off-topic story?
Yes.
It made me think of that. My mom and I were just talking about it. You know, I have a history, and it's one of like the things that keeps me awake at night, because I feel really bad about this, about myself. Saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, and just saying horrible things and not meaning to, and then realizing what I've just said, and oh, God. My brother...
Yeah, I've had to explain for it many times, trust me.
And back a few years ago, here in Michigan, there was a plane crash. Sorry, it's not funny, because both people died in it. But it was a small plane. It wasn't like a commercial plane. And it came up on like local news, and my brother, even though he's lived in Chicago for 20 years, still obviously pays attention to what's going on around here, and saw this news article about the plane crash, and it was like some old, I don't know, some like old Russian plane or something. And so my brother went online and posted this story to Facebook, and then made like some, was it the Wolverines? What was the Red Dawn thing?
Yeah, Wolverines.
Yes, made a Wolverines comment.
Yeah.
Totally mocking this plane crash.
Right.
At which point then...
Oh, God.
He started getting... private messages from people.
Because
one of the dead guys on the plane was from our hometown.
Oh, God.
And like everyone on his Facebook account knew. So he quickly.
That's funny.
I'm sorry. I was like, that's a good one. I have to admit, other than my, you know, making fun of that band, the Four Squirrels, to personal friends of theirs, how was I supposed to know?
Yeah, exactly.
What are the odds? So anyway, that was my off topic. It was the Russian plane thing that made me think of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's... just some of her faux pas have just, you know, are going to be memorable all the way till her death and beyond.
My opinion of this, and it is strictly my opinion, is that because she's hot and it's Alaska, she is used to people always telling her, you know, she's in the insulated bubble of yes men. People always telling her how awesome she is and how smart she is and all of this horseshit because she's hot.
Well, I remember what got her in the graces of the people was, you remember...
John McCain.
Before that... there was this project that got exposed in Alaska regarding a bridge that Senator Ted Stevens was, you know, being subsidized or subsidizing some company or giving them the contract to build this meaningless fucking bridge that, like, was millions and millions and millions of dollars that, like, eight...
The bridge to nowhere, like, wasn't that what they called
it? Yeah, like...
Okay.
Yeah, but it was, like, eight cars a day were going to go over it. You know, I mean, it was like a Dames Point Bridge in Jacksonville, but it's like, you know, there was, like, literally 15 homes and one business on the island it was going to go to. It was just so they could award a construction project to a company, obviously.
Right. Right.
You know, and and it's like she came along and at the perfect time, she wasn't the one looking into it. She was just alerted to it as she was running for governor and used it as the springboard to become the governor by getting him ousted. So she's like a local hero.
Wasn't he he died in a plane crash, didn't he?
No, I think he's alive.
I'll have to look.
Yeah, I think he's alive, but he... You know, he pretty much got shamed out of office over it.
Right.
And stuff like that. Very old dude, so he may be dead. I don't know.
Was he the one that, like, was talking about the internet as a series of tubes?
I can't remember.
He was like
remember.
On the, like, some committee.
I just remember he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar and cutting some deals, you know, the old senator corruption deal that takes place in all 50 states.
And he's probably thinking it's Alaska, like anyone notices.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was, other than, you know, this was so egregious. I mean, it was like the most unnecessary fucking bridge ever.
Well, because outside of that, what are the only news stories you ever hear from Alaska? It's environmental and, like, animal-related, you know, when some endangered species of wolf is killed by Sarah Palin and her family or something like that. Yeah, I don't know anything political in Alaska.
I think what brought attention to this was putting, like, a ferry service out of business that, like, some of those people that lived on that island worked for. So it's like they wouldn't even have been necessary once the bridge is built. You know, so then you have like three houses over there, you know.
FYI, Ted Stevens was the one who said the internet is a series of tubes, and he did die in a plane crash in 2010.
Oh, okay. All right. Well.
En route to a private fishing lodge.
Of course.
Yes, in Alaska. Actually, it was Canada where he died.
Yeah, so
Pretty much the same thing.
You know, he was not a nice person. Yeah. She exploited that. That's how she pretty much rose to power quickly. And then she said she took on big time oil or whatever. And
which is weird because she's Republican. I would think she would be blowing them. That's probably what she meant.
Yeah,
it was like a big bukkake fest. She did 20 loads on her face at once.
I mean, Here's pretty much the thing with her. She was in a position to look really good, look really competent, really smart. I mean, she even looked that way to me. 60 Minutes did a story on her, you know, and about the...
No, about you the, did not get snowed over by her.
No, dude, before they announced her as a VP candidate... the way they painted her and the way they made her look, when they announced her as a VP candidate, I was like, this may not be good. You know, and then when I saw her, first interview, I went, this is good. God, is this good.
I hope Trump picks her as his running mate. Oh my God, it would be like just the axis of evil of stupid.
Have you ever seen the movie Game Change?
No, but I've heard about it.
Where Julianne Moore plays her. The whole movie was consulted by Steve Schmidt, who was McCain's advisor for the campaign. Okay. So, and also Nicole, I forget her last name, but both of these people have been around campaigns for 20, 30 35 years, you know, I mean, they know Washington inside and out. They've elected mayors, congressmen, senators, presidents, you know, same people, same story. They're just guns for hire to get people elected. And it's their depiction of her is pretty much the script for the movie. And some of the shit they had to do with her. And it's like they actually were giving her like seventh grade history books to make to make sure she knew basic history, you know, Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, you know, just basic history shit, so she wouldn't step in, you know, rudimentary questions. You know, they had to completely re-educate her on the Constitution, the amendments, you know, that and which is fine. You know, we probably all could use refresher courses.
Right. I was going to say, I probably know less than she does in some of that stuff right now. But I also am not running for anything.
And so she gets this sense of empowerment that, you know, she's completely re-educated on everything. And then she ends up in the interview with Charlie Gibson. And he asked her, at the time, the Soviets were invading Georgia, you know, and
she said, what about the peach farmers?
Exactly. And he asked her, he asked her a simple question about it, and she tried to answer it, and you could tell she didn't know a fucking thing. And I'm like rooting for her at this point. I'm like, just tell him you don't know. You're a governor of a state. It's not your fucking problem till now. You don't know.
Right.
You know? That's all you got to do. That's all you got to say is, you know, Charlie, I want to be fair and say that this is an issue our president handles and our, you know, secretary of state. I really am not up to speed to speak clearly about this.
Right.
That's all she had to say. And I went and went, okay, I get that. I really do.
Yes. I forgive anyone who doesn't know something.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, they're asked the same thing every day.
I actually trust somebody who says, I don't know. You know, I really do. I'm totally okay with that. Because up until, you know, and if she has the ability to have some, you know, a little bit of education about her to say that's definitely something I need to get up to speed on. Obviously, my job was to govern Alaska. That's a full-time job, and I'm ashamed to say I don't know as much about this issue as I should, but I really can't comment on it.
Ask me again in a week.
Yeah.
I promise I'll read more about it.
Yeah, it's like this is obviously all stuff I need to get up to speed on if I'm going to be the vice president of the United States, and I will. I'm a smart person. I'll make sure I know the ins and outs of it, but I just got vetted a week ago. I'm sorry. I would have been like, oh, God, this chick's trouble.
Right.
You know, because, you know, when, like I said, before I found out what a true moron she is, the way she got painted and the stuff documentary they did on the Alaska oil problem and the Ted Stevens stuff and all that really made her look good. And I was like, you know, when they said that she was going to be the running mate, I remember telling my wife, I was like, if this chick's anything like I've seen so far, this is going to be a problem for Obama.
Right.
And
I think she's a perfect example of a female who got where she was in large part because of how she looked. She was never asked tough questions before because, sorry, it was Alaska.
Well, I think they also saw, you know, how what a bloodbath the Hillary Obama primary was. You know, and you know, I think they were thinking, oh, yeah, women are really wanting a woman in there. And it doesn't hurt that she's easy on the eye, so we'll get some horn dogs and we'll...
Oh,
know.
I remember the announcement. I remember sitting back just thinking, oh, you know, slow clap, way to go. That was the best thing you could do against the historic black guy, you know.
But in the movie, they paint it as a swing for the fence, desperation home run measure based on some of the polling they had done. They were talking Joe Lieberman, you know, so it would have been like a crony ticket and all that. And they said, no, we need something arousing here, something, you know, game changing to if he's going to win this election. And that's why.
Oh, she was arousing until she opened her mouth.
And that's why they called the movie that, is game change, because even Steve Schmidt admits, yeah, she was, you know, one pitch, we must hit a home run type of philosophy.
The Hail Mary.
Yeah. And so the whole movie's about really his relationship with her and how arrogant she was and how she, you know, after a while she started getting a sour taste about the whole thing. So she wasn't going to her tutoring and she wasn't, you know, getting ready for debates. And, you know, there's one scene in the movie where they're trying to get her ready for the Joe Biden debate. And she kept calling him O'Biden.
Diamond Joe Biden.
And Woody Harrelson's playing the part of Steve Schmidt. And he goes, it's not fucking O'Biden. It's just Biden. His name's Joe Biden. So fine, and she couldn't get it. They kept practicing, and they're all like, Jesus Christ. You know, so he comes up with a bright idea, and this is where she goes, can I just call you Joe? And Biden, of course, being Biden, goes, sure. You know, be my guest.
Because I can't say two syllables of your last name.
So, you know, and of course, it was adoring and sweet to the crowd, you know, that she, can I just call you Joe and all this stuff. And, oh, she's so down to earth and so simple. But
she's folksy. But, she is simple.
Yeah, he's folksy, simple. But that's the only thing he could get her to do to not keep calling him O'Biden. And then the night they were doing the concession speech, he's like looking around for her all over the place, and he walks in and he finds her in the room like practicing a speech, and he goes, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "Oh, I'm just getting ready for my concession speech." He goes, "You don't do a fucking concession speech." Only the president nominee does that. What the fuck? And she, you know, she's like all, she has this, you know, tigress look on her face. Like, I'll show you. I'm going to be something, you know. And he looked at her like, you fucking moron. You know, only the way Woody can look at somebody. And
is it a sneer or is it a smile?
It's both. It's Woody. You know, he's like got the look on his face like unfucking believable. At the same time, it's like, don't you say a fucking word to anybody.
The only person who could muster up that kind of disdain better was Alan Rickman, because I have to mention him.
Yeah, but. I mean, if you're gonna go with somebody who's just full on dickhead,
Woody's a good shot.
Woody is pretty fucking good. Let me see if I can think of anybody else. No, Woody's pretty well rounded.
I know. Who would have thought that he would be like an actual like movie star after watching him on Cheers? You know, of all the characters on there, I would say he's become the biggest star.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the most impressive acting performance I saw of his was with McConaughey in True Detective. I mean, who would have thought the two of them would be like chemical brilliance? But they were.
It kind of makes sense, though, when you think about it. Like, you wouldn't. I don't think you'd opt for that being your first choice, but then if you really stop and think about it, it does make a weird, bizarro sense.
But have you seen it yet?
I have not.
Yeah, you, it's right up your alley. You really need to. But the fascinating part is when you know, you tell me when you watch the first episode that you would, if you were casting the movie, you wouldn't have done it backwards. You know, because McConaughey's kind of the dark, aloof, mysterious, you know, kind of twisted looking guy, and Woody's like married with a kid, and he's the other cop, and you know, he's fucking some chick on the side, you know, but he's, you know, he's kind of the normal dude out of the two. You know,
right.
Good cop, been doing it a long time, but, you know, he's got the faults any police officer has, underpaid, overworked, you know, a little bit of a pot belly, you know, it's like the only satisfaction he gets is banging some stripper that, you know, didn't want him to give her a ticket or something, you know, and McConaughey's like the keep to himself, you know, has all the clues and shit on the wall of his apartment of the stuff they're working on and is totally obsessed with it. And yeah, you know, it's like you would have thought if you were casting the movie, you would have done it backwards, but it works. After
that's probably what they went for. You know what I mean? I think that obviously casting people are savvy enough that they thought they would change it up a little bit.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to one of them and have them on an interview at some point and go, did you guys entertain the idea of being the other guy in that at one point? Because I bet the answer is yeah.
Well, that's what I, you know, originally auditioned for. And...
Yeah, yeah, because I was like, he should have been him, and he should have been him. But by the time you get into, like, the second episode, you go, oh, no, this is fucking genius. This is good.
You will be happy to know that I am almost done with season 4 of House of Cards.
Oh.
So don't give anything up, because, as I said, I'm not done. But I love...
What episode are you on?
Oh, I'm trying to think what just happened. The old newspaper editor is starting to nose around.
Oh, okay.
And just
so
found out that...
You're like halfway through.
Thereabouts, yeah. I think like episode 7 out of 13 or something.
Yeah, you're less... You have 6 hours of joy coming your way.
I have such a better love and appreciation for Robin Wright. She's just cold. She is so cold. I mean, even when she's like laying in bed watching, like looking at her laptop, you know, everything, all of her moves are so perfect and intentional. It's like you never would see her throw a leg up over the armrest of the couch when she's watching TV.
No.
Because she doesn't do that. She will be in heels always, you know?
Well, no, I mean, you get such a great explanation of her with Ellen Burstyn, you know? It's like, I want to be my mother, but I don't want to be my mother, you know?
Right.
You know, so she has all the grace and the Southern etiquette and the Texas charm and the graciousness and all that, but she at the same time wants to be better, but you start to find out as it goes, they're the same person.
Yes. See, what got me, I've always loved Doug. He's always been my favorite character up until this season. And what it was like when Claire went to Texas. I'm trying to say this without giving too much away for anyone who hasn't seen it, but when Claire went to Texas.
If they're a fan, they should have fucking seen it by now. So go ahead.
And he and Frank sent him to go watch her, you know. And when she walked into that meeting with Nev Campbell and Doug's already sitting there. I think it was Nev. Maybe it was the congresswoman.
Yeah,
her daughter.
Cicely Tyson.
Yes, that's why I couldn't think of her name. And he's already there. I, as a woman, like felt my asshole pucker, like, oh, you asshole. You know, I was just like, so I was totally watching it from Claire's standpoint and how absolutely frustrating and helpless it is to know that your all-powerful husband is just screwing you at every turn, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, you'll see. I don't want to ruin it for you, but the brilliance of this year, you know, the way it started out
with the prison masturbation.
Yeah,
that was like the first scene of the first. It was like, really?
No, I mean between Claire and Frank,
right?
And you're like, oh God, this is really fucked up and over, and you know they're going their separate ways and all that stuff, And it's like when you see what materializes, you're gonna think the writer's a genius.
Okay. Even my husband's kind of getting into it, and he's avoided it like the plague because he doesn't like political stuff.
But the last fucking 5 minutes is a showstopper.
So you said that last year. At that scene, that last 15 minutes of them in the Oval Office.
This makes that look like child's play.
Now, they've left it open for another season, yes?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Not only have they left it open, but it's more intense than ever.
Which is weird, because, man, they've covered everything, you know.
No, they haven't.
Okay, good.
No, not they kicked in three or four new doors.
Very nice.
Yeah, so it's really good. Have you gotten to the part where the candidate that's running against them comes to the White House?
Oh, you mean RoboCop?
Yeah.
Joel Kinnaman, who was also the like stoner cop guy in that murder show, like up in Vancouver.
Yeah, the killing.
Yes, that. Yeah. Unfortunately, he will always be that character to me. So I have a hard time seeing him as the candidate. I think I'm right at the point where he's gone to the White House. Like, I think that was at the end of the episode I just finished, yeah, almost literally before I came here to record this.
He goes a couple times, but this part I can tell you about, but it won't. I can't do it the justice Kevin Spacey does. But he, there's an issue, so Frank invites him to the White House. Along with his wife and children, and they're staying in their living quarters. So they're in that same room you always see Claire and Frank in and all that stuff.
Right.
And Claire and the possible future first lady are sitting across from one another, and the kids in the kitchen, and she's going, mommy, I'm hungry, I want something to eat, and she turns to Claire and she goes, do you ever regret not having kids? And Claire just stares at her and she goes, oh, I'm sorry. And Claire goes, do you ever regret having them? And this woman gets a look on her face like, yes. But it's like she didn't change expression or anything.
She's so perfect.
And she's got that.
She's not human.
She's got that condescending Stepford wife smile, you know, not smile, but bright look on her face. It's like, do you ever regret having them? I'm like, God, I want to fuck you so bad.
So, this was last season, so yeah. I have no problem talking about this. Last season, towards the end, when they were starting to fall apart, and when she walked in and was like, I want you to fuck me, Frank. I want you to fuck me, and then start slapping him across the face.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my.
Yeah.
That was like the most human I think she's been that season.
Yeah, I was like, I'll do it.
You know, Robin Wright, when like she was Princess Buttercup with the long hair, yeah, and then the long-haired hippie Jenny in Forrest Gump, I think those two roles, like she was the most beautiful woman in the world. I always just adored Robin Wright.
Oh, she still is. She's a yes, beautiful woman. I mean, they harden her up and put her in the corporate clothing and all that stuff. But, you know, it's like she still could grow her hair out and put on a blouse and, you know, a pair of jeans and just look like a million bucks.
Yes.
You know, she's going to be ageless. She just has that beautiful face and those fucking eyes. My goodness. Yeah,
but it's just perfect.
But on that same visit, the kids go into Frank's room where he's got all the Confederate soldiers and you know, his World War II set up with his toy soldiers and stuff.
Right.
And a kid goes in and grabs a couple of the soldiers and runs into the army and goes, mommy, look what I got and everything. And she's like, oh no. She goes, you need to put those back. And she looks at Frank and she's like, I'm so sorry. He goes, you should have every single thing you want all the time.
What an asshole. He's so delightfully awful.
I'm like, that's, yes! Yeah, he's like, you should have whatever you want all the time. Like, yeah, keep them, you little prick. I'll get some new ones. All right, so that wraps up today's threesome podcast. Good stuff, Stacey. I'm glad you're up to speed on that. Next time, or in the next couple podcasts, you know, since you probably need a couple days at least to get through that, we'll discuss when it's over for you, and you will be so enthused and ready for season 5. I promise.
Okay. Cool.
It's just good stuff. Until then, we are out of here. We will talk to you next time on the Threesome Podcast. Bye, Stace.
Bye, Lexi Boo.